This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is the Hans Shot First podcast.
They don't know it, I'm telling you.
We'll be talking in depth about common movie moments
from my dead body,
with the mix of all things pop culture along the way.
Yeah, all Scott.
Okay.
Welcome everyone to Hans Shot First. I'm Jeff, joined as usual by Scott and Alex. Say hello.
Hello.
Hey.
This week we're talking about The Losers.
Do they win?
Last year's?
Yeah. Actually, 2010's The Losers. Assuming I'm watching the right one.
Yeah.
Okay. This movie came out, like I said, in 2010. Directed by Sylvain White, written by Peter Berg and James Vanderbilt. Oh, and Andy Diggle. Starring a
Old
bunch
Andy.
Of comic book heroes.
Yeah, before they became big comic book heroes. Oh, except for Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Idris Elba, Zoe Saldana, Chris Evans.
He had a big role.
What?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
Yeah, we're talking about before they were big superheroes, except for Jeffrey Dean Morgan, because he was a comedian before this.
Oh, that came out before this? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Idris Elba, Zoe Saldana, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Chris Evans, and others, but those are the big names.
Jason Patrick.
Sure.
Holt McKellany.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right, who's this? Is Alex's?
Yes. Yeah, it's mine.
So, all right, what's your history with this movie?
I think this is one of the ones where I saw a trailer of the movie, and it looked like a lot of fun. And then I was at a comic book shop, you know, perusing through the books, and I saw The Losers. And it's like, oh, shit, it's a graphic novel as well. And I started reading that ahead of the movie, and I loved it. So I was pleasantly surprised by the movie. Because it was better than I expected. It followed the book pretty closely, but added its own spin to it. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of the graphic novels and the movie. There it is.
All right. Scott, what's your history with the movie?
I vaguely remember seeing this in theaters. I honestly can't remember, though. This did come out the same year as The A-Team. I feel like this one kind of got buried. Because they're basically the same movie, but
I think this one's better.
I disagree. I didn't know it was a graphic novel going into it. It definitely, yeah, it looked cool. And I don't remember. I'm trying to think if I knew Zoe Saldana or Chris Evans from anything before this. Like, I didn't know.
Yeah, not another teen movie for Chris Evans, anyway.
Maybe. Or he did that movie
where Fantastic Four.
He did that movie where he did the high school heist. I forget what that one was called.
Brick?
Where they steal the SAT questions.
That was Animal House.
A high school heist musical?
Not a musical. although that sounds like a good musical.
All right, but Zoe Saldana was in Star Trek before this.
Was she?
And Avatar.
Okay, I hadn't seen Avatar.
I guess you hadn't seen Avatar.
Okay.
But definitely.
But yeah, I think I did recognize it from Star Trek.
All right.
I would say that this is the first movie that I saw Idris Elba in.
Yeah, I don't remember before
shit.
This.
It's on my list. So.
And same thing with Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Jason Patrick, I knew.
Mm-hmm.
Speed 2, Cruise Control.
That's right.
Idris Elba is one of those guys that I saw him in a bunch of stuff, but didn't really pay much attention to him until I watched The Wire, which was much later on. And then I was like, and then when I go back and watch it, oh yeah, he's in this.
Yeah.
So it was The Wire before this or after this?
It's before. So it's like early 2000s, I believe, The Wire.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was on during The Sopranos time, so.
Just tossing out an honorable mention right now. But Idris Elba does a pretty good American accent. You still can't say taco.
Yeah, taco.
Taco.
Damn, brother, taco stand.
Yeah, he can do it.
Yeah, it's weird because there's a couple times in this he did break, but I could have sworn in The Wire, he was I never knew he was British until after that because I was like, what the hell? So either I missed it or he just because he's speaking in a different American accent and that one is maybe it's easier for him to hide it or whatever. All right, my history. I never even heard of this movie. I thought I did, but then I was confusing this like with the other guys, or I don't know. I was confusing this with something else. I watched it for the first time today. When I saw the cast, I was excited, and then the movie wasn't that great, but there wasn't terrible. There were some moments. So let's get into it. As usual, we're going to talk about seven items from the movie. Alex, what's your number seven?
My number seven, and this is a little bit annoying, but I noticed it. I know, you know, there's a certain suspension of disbelief in action movies especially, but when Clay and Aisha get out of the burning hotel room after that all-out brawl that they had, and they come out, you know, downstairs on the street looking like they're ready for a GQ shoot. Yes. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You can, you know, put in like a little makeup for a bruise or even like wipe away some blood from their noses or some a couple scratches here and there.
Yeah. No,
come on.
Like he
was getting shot in this movie and like walking it off.
Yeah. Well, that's, regular action.
Haymakers on her.
Yeah.
And her face is completely fine. Like,
yeah, there's no way.
Yeah. Like, they could have at least like thrown like a bloody lip or something like that. Yeah. It's just, I noticed the same thing, Alex.
Because, I mean, a lot of movies and TV shows do that. And then a couple scenes later, they're completely fine with no makeup and everything.
They just like wash their face real quick and then they're good. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're good to go, which, you know, would have been fine, whatever. But they didn't even do that. For that scene, it's like it's a little gripe, but I still noticed.
Fair enough. But like I said, I mean, the one guy gets shot in both his legs. They make jokes about can you walk? Of course not. But then he's fighting like two scenes later. Like I mean,
instead of bleeding out.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
they bandaged him up, and that made him be able to walk. It's too
it's like 80s action. Don't think too hard about it. Like
The bullets just like stumbling. He was stumbling a bit here and there, but
But why are you upset that she looked fine and he looked fine after they fought? It's the same thing.
Because it was like right after, like they didn't have time to go to the bathroom and clean off all the blood that they just soaked themselves in that fist fight.
Fair enough.
Like I'm saying, just, you know, a little drip of blood on their noses or in their lip or something. They wiped it off as they're coming down the stairs. Fine.
Fair enough.
There's nothing.
All right. Scott, number seven.
That's all I'm saying.
Number seven is the camera work in this movie. It's not good. this is on the heels of a couple Bourne movies, I think. At least the first Bourne movie. I think the second one had been out by then. Like, trying to capture that feeling with the shaky cam, and it sucks. Like, all the action like that is... It just feels...
Yeah, it's dated.
It feels stale. I got a little nauseous at the points. They're doing the like Tony Scott thing where it does the kind of cut in the middle where it like drops frames. Like I don't know what that kind of editing's called. I don't even know, Alex. Like that's like when they're just like walking around. They do that sometimes. Like it's just like a bastardization of somebody who had seen other action films and wanted to give it a shot, which is fine. But I didn't feel like any of it. Like the only cool shot was because it was like right of a panel right out of a a comic, the graphic novel in this case, is when she shoots the rocket launcher, or the RPG or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Like that's like the only shot I really remember from this movie. So
I agree. I have more to say about this later. All right. Well, my number seven is the burning teddy bear that you saw coming a mile away. Like, God damn it.
Yeah.
He's going to come across a... I said a burnt teddy bear. Nope. It's flaming teddy bear.
Conveniently, no charred bodies, but yeah.
Yeah.
Lady Vengeance situation here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they... Yeah. It makes more sense in a graphic novel to do something like that than in a dumb action movie, which is what this turned out to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's my number seven. Alex, number six.
My number six is, it's a small detail, but I was laughing at almost every shirt that Chris Evans was wearing. I like it when they get, I'm a, you know, graphic artist, graphic art fan of shirts. So I noticed most all of them. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, I have nothing good to say about Chris Evans in this movie.
You crazy.
Yeah. You are, Jeff.
All right.
Not even the two AT-ATs humping?
Yeah.
Oh.
Scott, number six.
Number six was pretty much the peak of Jason Patrick's characters right off the bat. And then he's just kind of weird and annoying. But I'm going to say about that later. But the joke about throwing the guy off the roof. I was like, okay. Like, I'd forgotten how the villain operated in this. I'm like, okay, this could be kind of fun. When he's like, no, I meant for you to like punch him in the face, not throw him off the roof. I thought that was funny, but that's about as funny as his character got, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I did think that was a fun dynamic between him and Holt McCallum.
Wade.
McCallum's just kind of a meathead, just kind of established that relationship. It was a good way to do that. But yeah, when he throws the guy off the roof, I thought that was funny.
All right. My number six. I had nothing good to say about Chris Evans in this movie. not funny. Nothing landed for me with him. Like, none of this stuff. At the very end, little teaser at the end of the movie was stupid. I don't know if comedy is his thing. Like, I know something I saw him and he was okay in, but this reminded me more of his Fantastic Four role than it did anything here. And just him singing the Journey song, getting undressed, and Angle of the Dangle. It's like, it's not funny. I don't know. I just, nothing about what he did in this made me laugh. So. Sorry, Cap. You weren't funny. Just go be a true blue hero.
I can at least explain one of those things, but that's later on my list. You'll see.
I did like the joke, which not really a joke, unless they knew he had been cast as Captain America, where he's putting his fingers out. I've been part of a testing test subject of something like that.
Yeah, like it's a little meta now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, unless they knew when they were filming this, he had been cast for Captain America and they threw that in there. I don't know.
Maybe. Because that was in the graphic novel. That pretty much that whole thing is verbatim.
Oh, okay. Well, then no. So it's not based on casting. It's part of the source. All right.
Yeah.
Alex, number five.
My number five is the cinematography. Some of it was cool. Some of it was a little bit, like we talked about, dated. One thing that I did like is that they try to do different shades of color subtly for different locations. Kind of keep it to like a three color gradient, kind of like they did it in the original comic book. So I thought that was neat. A nice little detail that they went for. But yeah, some of the cuts were a bit excessive. They're getting a little bit too cute for a few things. They shot for the moon on some of the action shots, even though the CG doesn't hold up now, of course. But I appreciate them swinging for the fences.
Yeah. Scott, number five.
So number five is, you mentioned a second ago, Jeff, the weird ending scenes. They were amusing, they're cute, but they both come right on the heels of Zoe Saldana saying, basically, I'll go with you guys, but then I'm going to murder you. And then all of a sudden, she's like super buddy-buddy with everybody.
Yeah.
Like, it was weird. Mm-hmm. It was almost like they went back and, like, added her threat thing at the end. And then they did these other, like, it didn't jive. So.
Yeah, that always did feel off. I disregard those scenes anyways.
Also, whatever. Jeff will appreciate this. The rain coming down in the scene where he's breaking into the hospital was so blatantly like fake rain. But certain family members, I'm sure, Jeff would have been irritated with it. Yeah.
I like how they left this movie open for a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they just were like trying to be true to the comic or the graphic novel, or if they really thought like we might have something here.
I thought they were hoping.
They're like, this cast is good. I could see them being in the comic movies for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, they were right.
They were right. Just not this.
Yeah.
All right. We're my number five. I don't know if this was a callback to it or not, but there's a scene when Chris Evans is after he like hijacks the uploads the algorithm or whatever stupid techno mumbo jumbo he was saying, and he's running through the office and he's on the headset and he goes, I need an exit. And then he's the guy who was talking to him over the headset. That's like from The Matrix with Neo. Yeah. So I don't know if that was a callback to that or if that whatever that was. But
the guy that he tricks out of the office was Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, see?
There you go.
I didn't realize that, but there you go. So it definitely is. Then.
Yeah.
I'm sure these actors don't give a shit for the most part, but like when he says the algorithm is probably on the mainframe, just a sigh. Also, honorable mention that movie GUI on the guy's computer inside the... whatever the name of that office was.
I will give it a heads up for like, there wasn't some weird elaborate thing he had to do to get to that computer. Like once he social engineered himself into the room, he was fine just to plug in the thing. And that was something.
Yeah.
I guess it's possible the guy didn't like lock his computer on the way out. But
that's how computers work, Jeff. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He'd then like hang from a ceiling and say toast.
Toast.
All right. Alex, number four.
My number four is that I have forgotten that Idris Elba was in this. And this is the first, as I recall, the first movie that I ever saw him in. And he's one of my favorite actors now. So I had to put him on my list. Give him a mention here as my number four. He was great in this movie, too, except for saying Taco.
He was fine. His character made no sense to me.
Yeah, that could have used some fleshing out. Because Roke in the comic books, it makes a bit more sense.
Because it starts off and he's like, he's part of the team and he like is with them. He wants to save the kids, right?
Yeah.
He's not cool with them bombing all those kids. And then all of a sudden he's like, let's murder this woman. And then he's like super aggressive. And then he just betrays them. Like the motivation doesn't add up for me.
Yeah, I can see that. Still.
Yeah, he keeps saying something like, you betrayed us. Like, what are you talking about? Right?
Yeah.
Like that doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
They did fumble Roke a little bit.
Yeah. So one thing he was in, you might have, I don't know if you were watching The Office as it aired, but he was in
a string of
episodes of The Office in 2009, which was just before this.
Oh, that was him?
Yeah, he took over for Michael for a
little
bit.
That's
right. But yeah, see, that's one of those things where you didn't realize who it was.
Yeah.
I remember in Prometheus too. I didn't really know who he was in that, and then later on when I went back and watched Prometheus, Pacific Rim. There's a few movies I didn't really realize until I watched The Wire. He's in a bunch of shit. So
he's canceling the apocalypse.
Yeah. Cancel the apocalypse.
Yeah.
What was his character in The Office? Like, I obviously you laid out like he's the boss, but like, what was his thing?
Yeah, isn't that after Michael Scott leaves and he starts his own paper company to compete with Dunder Mifflin? Right, well, so they bring in Idris Elba as the boss.
Yeah, I forgot the storyline. This is not when he left the show and what's-his-face, when Carell left the show. He was still on the show, but he was not the regional... He was not the manager of the Scranton office or the...
So was he like just a straight man? Was he like... A weirdo? Yes. Like, what was his deal?
No, he was a straight man.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, because Michael Scott's all joking, and everyone, like, would try to do stuff, and he was very, like, deadpan serious. And Jim would do one of his stupid jokes, and he was having nothing to do with it.
Yeah. He actually thought that, what's his face? The guy with the beats?
Dwight.
Yeah, that Dwight was, like, his main man. He made him, like, he consulted with him with everything.
Yeah.
That blew up in his face. That was great.
So, all right.
That's my number four.
That was your number four. So Scott, number four.
Number four is the cartoonishly evil Jason Patrick in this.
Yeah,
beyond cartoon.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Like so you get Patrick Wilson in the A Team, who's like also chewing on scenery, but nothing to this level. Maybe. You know, again, maybe they're being faithful to the graphic novel to a degree. Yeah, he's just obnoxious. And, like, it was a little cringy when he tries to do the Mumbai accent of the guy. That has not aged well.
But then again, he is the villain.
Yeah, he just...
He's the asshole that would do that.
Like, he's randomly murdering people because they don't hold umbrellas the right way, like, even though it wasn't their fault. And it's just... Yeah, it doesn't, like, make any sense. Again, don't think too hard about it, obviously, but...
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Just a guy running around with, like, unlimited resources to do whatever he wants. It just doesn't...
Well, not unlimited, because he had to figure out a way to get money for the snooks.
Well, whatever he's doing on the books, he was getting paid for. So, and he had like a convoy that was like, I don't know, just.
But he was CIA. Is there anything on the books with those guys?
Who knows?
I don't think so.
There is, but is it real?
Anyway, right, you have to say black site. Anything CIA is like a black site, black ops, dark money.
I'll shift things around a little bit so we can continue on this. My number four would be the lame bad guys. He is just, not only is this stuff comical, and I guess literally, but no, like, he was nothing. He was not intimidating at all. His plans were stupid. All the guys around him were stupid. The guys that he was bribing or working with, they would just keep, they're gullible as hell, and then like following for us. Oh, it's $1 billion. Yeah, sure. Like, he's going to give it to you. Like, it was just, there was no threat. Like, he had a pretty good cast, maybe before these guys all blew up, but these guys were like a good cast, and they just have no threat as a bad guy. It was just stupid. Oh, God. I think I hated this more than anything in the movie, just how lame he was and how lame all the bad guys were.
So question. They use the hard drive, like, so Jason Patrick's character uses the hard drive to lure them out, right? But it turns out, like, them explaining what's on the hard drive didn't matter at all. Because they just steal the real money that's just laying around the port, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know where the $1 billion came from.
It was because they say there's like a throwaway line. Oh, that was from the
CIA.
Yeah, it was like a CIA like dark cash, money. Cash
okay, dollar. That's right.
So they still have that, then, and he still has the hard drive with all the money, which was the dumbest. Like, that was one of the dumbest things I ever heard in a movie about. Oh, you just move cash onto this thing. What?
It's crypto before crypto. I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
I guess Jeff's right there. Anyway.
It was the weakest part of this movie. And yeah, I don't know.
I did like that there was like a random Ducati. Here's your four snooks and a Ducati. Yeah, well. At no point does it look like Jason Patrick's character has any interest in riding a motorcycle. But here's a Ducati, just so they can set up it being around for the next scene. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it came with the snooks. It's a bundle.
I guess. They needed to ride out. Yeah, like it was just under $1 billion and the Ducati put it over. Yeah.
It's like an Iron Man when he sells them all the whatever those missiles were, and you get a free martini case.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Okay. See? Maybe that makes sense.
You get a Ducati.
Yeah. No. Look at the end of Bad Boys. He throws in the classic car with that. Anyway.
All right. Scott number three. I'm sorry, Alex number three.
My number three is Infiltrating Goliath, which I think was my favorite part. You see, it was kind of annoying when Chris Evans was singing the stuff. It's supposed to be ha-ha funny. I found it a lot funnier when I was younger, when I first watched this movie. But the reason he was doing that was so he can get in an elevator all by himself so he can do the quick change.
I got it.
Yeah. I don't think he did the first time.
And then the door still opens on him, so he can get a dick joke. Like,
well, that was later. On the ground floor, that was probably his plan. I need an elevator all by myself so I can change. So I'm going to be annoying. See?
I thought it was weird that all four women were into it.
That was a bit weird.
And that they weren't the ones calling security.
Johnny Storm.
Yeah. And they were looking at the frontal region. It wasn't like they were looking at America's ass.
Yeah.
Looking at America's neck
dong.
Shaft.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how much we're showing. Yeah.
Cougar helping him out with his telekinetics on the guards. America, that's always good. America's I like that.
Taint.
It did stuff to me. Anal stuff.
Pew, 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 pew. All right. I also hate his facial hair in this damn movie, but
yeah, that was graphic novel. But yeah, a douchey, cocky white guy who's good with computers.
Computers. All right, Scott, number three.
Number three was the money shot in this movie, the motorcycle into the jet.
yeah,
it's one of those things that I do love, where it's just equally like epic, awesome, and dumb at the same time. They set up the shots like slow motion. One guy goes flying off into the jet engine, and the Ducati like magically just starts flipping up in the air. Like the movie needed more of that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I feel like this guy came up with the ending of this movie and he's like, I'm going to make a movie around this, which I know it's based off of the comic, but still it was.
No, that ending stuff didn't really happen in the comic book. That's all movie stuff.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
So this guy had that shot. He's like, I got to put it in something. All right, I'll dap a comic book and throw it in there.
So, yeah. It was just so ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, not. Not like Stone Cold Viking Funeral Ridiculous, but
yes, that's what it reminded me of, Stone Cold.
But still like in the same ballpark. So that's my number three.
All right. My number three is the gratuitous booty shot of Zoe Saldana from the broken glass or the mirror as she's diving into the bathroom. And you just happened to see her and her panties diving into, or whatever she was wearing, into the bathroom. I was laughing at how gratuitous that was.
They did the same thing in that first fight where she's like somehow winds up on her hands and knees and like you get his point of view looking at her ass. Like,
yeah.
They did it a few times. This was
mm-hmm. worse than Legolas running on broken bridge across things. God.
Like pretty much 10% of the cam work in this movie is focusing on her ass.
Yes.
It's
which I didn't mind, but I'm just saying it was weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very gratuitous. Yeah. I didn't understand like why they were all just decided, let's start shooting up this hotel room. Like, unload for like 5 minutes.
She's gonna kill him.
Yeah.
All right.
Just like Predator.
He's gonna have me some fun. Alex, number two.
My number two is Cougar is Magic.
Yeah.
Man, they'd be toast if Cougar didn't have the CGI power in this movie with all the incredible sniping shots that he does. I know everybody has their role and everything, but man, he seems to be, if this was Animal Farm, Cougar would be the horse.
I have no idea what that
is. Except before he could be like yoked down, he would murder everybody else. But
that's true.
I was laughing at the idea of this guy's using like basically a cannon, like, cause that's what that sniper rifle is.
Yep, it is.
To like wound people, like, no. we've all seen Rambo. It stuff's gonna pop, like.
Yeah.
Like the security guards in the office building, like they're losing whole limbs. Like they're not just like taken down. Yeah.
I read in the trivia that this was the only movie from, was it Stormhouse or whatever the production company was, that's not rated R. So
this movie
maybe it shouldn't have been.
This movie could have done with some more violence.
Yeah. I think the studio just chickened out and tried to make it PG-13.
Yep.
So there you go.
All right. Scott, number two.
Number two is kind of what we were just talking about. This movie can't decide what it wants to be. Like, go full on graphic novel with it, or go full on like 80s violent action movie. Instead, we get this middle of the road, like kind of paint by numbers. Here's kind of what, you know, action looks like these days. Kind of try to keep it grounded with the shaky cam stuff, make it seem realistic. We won't do too much comic booky stuff, but we'll, you know, typical like Bullets or Magic kind of stuff. And the end product doesn't work. There's a lot of like sneaking up behind people in this movie and just like taking them out that way. Just to like pad it with extra action. Most of the firefights are just like random dudes running into their like field of vision and getting shot instantly. There's a few shots which I don't mind because this is like Hallmark 80s action dumb stuff, but where people are just like running around like with guns, like
yeah,
just again to pad out these action scenes. There's one scene that doesn't make any, where like Chris Evans like runs out, like jumps over the back of a truck and that's then just keeps running, like. And it doesn't show like why he was doing any of that. Like, it was just to like show him that he was moving around.
Well, he wanted to get to another place.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense now.
Yeah. See, I mean, strategically.
So Alex,
why did Chris Evans cross the road?
Yeah.
So everybody could see America's ass.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So Alex, you were upset with them coming down from the hotel room after the fight and being perfectly fine.
Yes.
I was upset that he's doing all this parkour bullshit like hours after he gets shot in the arm.
Yeah, but I mean, I've seen Commando. So.
yeah, that's true. It's true.
Doesn't he like jump across the roof?
And he's doing parkour bullshit.
Yeah. Like, he is.
And yeah, he's perfectly fine. Like, no trouble. Also, The reverse camera work of them like being pulled up the ropes is fucking hilarious. Like, they just use the sound effect and just have them go back up again. Like, they don't even explain like what's pulling them up. Like, it's, in most movies, where they have like a grappling hook or something that's like retracting, it's like, no,
it wasn't easy.
They're just going back up again. Yeah. Anyway, number two, this movie can't decide what it wants to be.
Yeah.
All right. My number two, I think, was Scott's number three. It's the final kill scene with the motorcycle and the guy and the jet and the wave. And, it was stupid, but I thought my list was done, and then that part happened. I was like, all right, I'll add that to my list as I was watching it. So, yeah, it was stupid, but I enjoyed it. And the first thing I did think of was Stone Cold. Well, I forgot the name of the movie until you said it. I was in the Brian Bosworth movie. I don't remember the name of it.
That movie, that scene is supreme. Like, if we ever do like a run shot for it list, the most ridiculous scene of all the movies we've ever talked about, that's my number one at the moment.
Anyways. It's gonna be number one. I think we're all three of us.
All right.
Oh my gosh!
I can't. Yeah,
Alex, number one.
Almost like start. Anyway.
Anyways, I like the relationships between all the characters. I think that's part of the reason why I like this movie so much. It's because it did get that kind of right from the comic books, where the team is, you know, kind of tight knit, and the back and forth that all the characters have, even with Wade and Max, to a lesser degree, because Max is very annoying. And in the comic books, he's mostly just a voice. You don't actually see him until like way towards the end of the series. But yeah, I like the interplay of the characters and everything. Their dialogue was got a bit too cute at times, but it was still pretty solid for me anyways. So yeah, I like all the other character relationships and interactions.
So I'm disappointed we never got the conclusion of that card game they were playing at the beginning of the movie.
I know. They had to mount up.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
Who's going to win Rook's knives?
So they don't. Yeah, that was. Yeah, that felt very abrupt. Also, they never explain why they're called the losers, by the way.
It's true.
That is true. I don't think in the comic book that they're actually. It's just the name of the comic book. It's just the title. Their team isn't called the losers. At least not that I can remember. It's been years since I've read it.
Yeah. If they're official military to start with. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. And I think he only says, Clay only says that one time, right? Like, hey, you assholes. Hey, you losers. Get ready to mount up.
I think he said one other time.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. All right. Scott, number one.
Number one is Chris Evans heist. This was by far my favorite sequence of the movie. I thought
heavy sigh from Jeff.
Yeah, no, I thought he was really funny. Not like it wasn't like the most hilarious thing that I've ever seen, but
yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he was just being obnoxious, and it was entertaining to watch. Again, it was kind of a record scratch moment where all the women were just like ogling him and just. They're okay with him being naked. Like, that was weird. And then all the computer mumbo jumbo bullshit. But otherwise, yeah, I really like the Don't Stop Believing, how that got incorporated into that whole scene sequence. The the telekinetic power thing was fun. And he just brought like much needed like energy to the other stuff. Cause you know, I think, Idris Elba and Jeffrey Dean Morgan are great actors. They're both like low key dudes, right? Like they don't bring that kind of energy. Yeah. You know, the cougar Oscar Hanada? Janata? I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but like he barely says anything. Mm-hmm. So it's just him and Pooch to be like the kind of comic relief. And He was definitely the funnier of the two as far as the comic relief went.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my number one. I really like Chris Evans in this. Honorable mention, I hated that the guy's name was Pooch because it was distracting. Because on Scrubs, there was a side character named Hooch.
Yeah, Turner and Hooch.
Yeah.
Hooch. The two surgeons that partnered up.
Well, like Hooch has like a recurring role, and Hooch is crazy. For those that are Scrubs fans, you know what I'm talking about. But anyway, so that's my number one, Chris Evans in this, basically.
All right, and my number one, I thought you guys already talked about it. The freeze frames are stupid. Didn't like it. They tried to make this cool, but it was just lame. And I think
about freeze frames. They were dumb.
Yeah. And then just the whole style. I think Scott said it right. They just didn't know what they wanted to be. It was like they're trying to make this hyper stylized, like 300 or something, or not. And it was dumb.
Jeff, have you ever seen Man on Fire? The newer one that was directed by Tony Scott had Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington.
No, I never saw it.
That is like what I think he was going for with a lot of this stuff. Like, Tony Scott filmed that. But anyway.
When you mention Tony Scott, that. I thought you were talking about like volleyball scenes and stuff.
Yeah. Yes, this movie. Who knows? Maybe this movie would have been better with a little more homoeroticism.
Like, I feel like should have been a bunch of dudes ogling.
Yeah, I feel like maybe just Elba's upset because Jeffrey Dean Morgan is boning Zoe Saldana here instead of him. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
He is complaining a lot about the women in his life. So
that is true. He does seem very concerned with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Chekhov's jealous rage.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway,
hey Jeff, do your Chekhov impression from last episode.
My what, Jeff? What impression?
Your Chekhov impression.
Chekhov.
Sometimes when you win, you lose, and when you lose, you win.
What? That's Rosie Perez. Why don't I get the Chekhov part? Nuclear vessels. Oh, what are you?
Because that's who you sounded like.
Oh, is that what you guys thought I sounded like?
Yeah. Right. Wow, you blocked that from your memory real quick. Sorry, Billy. Jeff. We scarred you for life.
Sometimes when you win, you lose. Yeah, kind of, I guess.
Oh, this is going to be our new loaded weapon one. We're going to bring up
the every episode. Looking for a nuclear vessel, Billy. Billy, Captain, I want to screw. Oh, God. I think we all established in the last episode that none of us do a good Rosie Perez.
No, we don't. No.
I feel like some point in my past I could do it, but no longer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
All right, that's it. Any honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Alex.
The GoldenEye dish?
Yes.
The big dish was there?
It was 100% the same, like, set. Like, the bed, say the real thing. Yeah, yeah. Like,
And I liked the gag of the Girls of America dolls. Did you guys catch that?
Yeah, that was funny. I just, like, I did like the idea of them, like, working in this factory.
Yeah, just putting together the dolls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the two hot Latina ladies gave him a ride to the meetup point.
Yeah. And they both say goodbye to Cougar, not to him. Yeah. That's
funny. Yeah.
I did think it was funny that this is like 80s action to a T, but the beginning when they raid the village to rescue the kids. Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Clay's character, gets to the main house and a couple guys come out and they've got like the girls in bikinis they held hostage, and he shoots both the dudes or whatever. And he's like, ladies, and these women run off. Those women are dead. Like, they got nuked with the jet shot.
That's right.
It's like, as long as the children are saved, we're good. But like... Like, those women are absolutely dead. Like, and nobody did, like, anything to help them.
Hey, Scott, they were real smoke shows after that.
Whoa!
Too soon.
I mean, so were the kids. Anyways.
Jeebus H. Moving along. Scott@gmail.com.
Is that it?
That's it.
Yeah, oh, that's it.
And Snooks is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Head scenes.
I got to think of a different title for that. Change that title.
Yeah. All right. As usual, it's time to rate the movie. We go as a, what do we do? A scale of 1 to 7. 1 being absolute garbage, 7 being perfection. Alex, what do you rate this movie?
I'm probably biased because I love the comic book so much, but I'm going to give this a 5. I still find this movie a lot of fun. And despite its shortcomings, I still like it.
Okay. Scott.
I thought I heard my name.
Yeah, yep. Scott.
Okay.
Scott.
Jeff was really far away.
Okay.
I'm right in front of the mic. Scott.
All right. I hear you. Jeez, Jeff. You have to yell.
Damn.
this movie's a 3.5. It's like right down the middle. But because we have to go one or the other, I will give it a 4. Mostly because it clocks in just over an hour and a half. And I'm always appreciative of that. And it did move along. Yeah. So, yeah, just a fun, dumb action movie with some star power in it. Yeah, 4.
I disagree. I'm moving along. I thought it was almost done, and I was only 20 minutes in at one point. I'll give it a 3. I did not like it. Can't say I hated it, though. So it's just below average or below the midpoint.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
With that, it's time for our crossover topic, which is what, Alex?
Our top 5 revenge heists.
Which so I had no idea what this topic was about, but
yeah, they're pulling a heist for revenge.
Yeah, some might have to go to the judges on a couple of these, but we'll see.
Okay.
Oh, I won't be judging Scott because you'll be judging me.
Okay, well, maybe this will sit for what I was thinking with this top 5. So my number 5 is the movie Tower Heist.
I haven't seen it, so I'll allow it.
Yeah, thank you,
Eddie Murphy.
Yes, and what's his face with the big ears? Zoolander. What's his face?
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller. Thank you.
I thought you were going to say Martin.
not the Black Knight.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller, where this Alan Alda is actually the villain in this one, where he's this corporate CEO dirtbag that steals a bunch of money from his employees. So they pull off this heist in his building to steal all his money back to give it back to all the employees that he ripped off. Revenge heist.
Revenge heist.
Yeah.
Just when you say it at the end, it makes it revenge heist.
Well, it is.
Okay. All right. I've seen the movie. I totally forgot everything about it, except there's a car and an elevator at one point, maybe. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Scott, number 5.
Okay. So my number 5 is The Italian Job.
Oh, that's my number 2.
So the updated one. I have not seen the original, so I don't know if that's a thing. And I don't think it is.
Same.
Is The Italian Job in any way related to the Portuguese handshake? Or no? Okay.
It's not, but it's the same director did The Dutch Rudder.
It's like olive oil and prosciutto, and you don't want to know the rest.
Okay, so despite Mark Wahlberg...
what? No!
This is still somehow a fun movie.
I know, right?
Despite him and Mos Def. Like, Mos Def is not good in this either. Despite the two of them, it's still a fun movie. And yeah, there's some revenge heisting going on.
Yeah.
It's carried mostly by Charlize Theron and a slimy Ed Norton. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Italian Job.
All right. I saw the movie and I remember liking it, but I couldn't tell you anything that happened in it except that they drive Mini Coopers around town or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Yes, they do.
All right. This is my list all over the place, but I'm going to go with John Wick.
Quick.
As number 5. It's definitely revenge. I don't know how much of a heist is going on, but he's heisting their lives away from them. So,
Jeff, I will allow it because. I'm going to allow this. Because that's a good description. At one point, he does break into like the organized crime vault and like burns all their money and other stuff that's in there.
Oh, okay.
I forgot about that. Everything burns. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. John Wick. Quick.
I like Jeff's explanation better.
Heist their lives?
Yeah. He's heisting their lives away.
All right. Alex, number 4.
My number 4 is Trading Places. They have to pull a small heist on the train to switch out the results from, what's his face? The stupid chief from Die Hard.
Yeah.
There's some collar pulling in there when they, towards the end of the heist, but it's a bit of a heist.
You mean like the gorilla rape?
That too.
That too.
Well, that's what he gets for sending them to detention. They're going to heist his crop.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, that's a good one. All right, I'll allow it. Alex, or sorry, Scott, number four.
Number four is Ocean's 13.
Ah, that's my number three.
Which is of the Ocean's... Well, technically Ocean's 8 is also a revenge heist.
I forgot about Ocean's 8.
But 13 is the only one that is specifically about revenge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
I'll have more about say about that later.
Oh.
I have Rogue One as my number four. They're heisting, they're stealing the Death Star plans because they're heisting it from the Empire because they want to live their lives back. So there you go.
So the heist is there. The heist part of that is there.
Well, the revenge is they're getting revenge for falling of the New Republic, getting their lives back. That's revenge. Hey, it was called Revenge of the Jedi, which was the conclusion of all of this.
I will allow this.
Said to myself, if Jeff somehow mentions Revenge of the Jedi, I'm going to allow this. You did it, Jeff. You son of a bitch. You pulled it off.
I just...
Son of a bitch, dude.
I just want to note the next time we do these lists, and maybe my stuff doesn't exactly fall underneath the thing. Let's just remember today.
Yeah, but Scott, you'll be doing a list that doesn't have anything to do with this. Like, top five performances by a mute actor or something would be your list.
I don't know what you're talking about. I just... Yeah. Small variations on a theme is what I'm saying.
All right. Alex, number three.
My number three is Ocean's 13.
This only gets worse, by the way.
Alex, number three. I look forward to it.
Yeah. Ocean's 13. Yeah, he shook Sinatra's hand. He should have known better.
So, I think I ask this every time I'm talking about this movie. Mm-hmm. Who's 12 and 13 in this movie?
Wait, what?
Who is 12 and 13 in this movie? Like, the 12th and 13th person in this movie.
Wouldn't it be, like, Elliot Gould, because he comes in at the end?
Well, Elliot Gould was one of the original 11, though.
Yeah. So, Benedict, maybe?
Okay, yeah. I think Benedict is one of them. So would it be Eddie Izzard's character?
Something like the weird like parachuting dude?
No.
No, he's the one that tried to
Roman.
Tell him
right?
About the Greco. Yeah, Roman. Who fixed the machine for what's his face that couldn't get it to work. The blackjack table.
Oh.
The British guy. Who was in Don Cheadle.
Right.
Or the warlock. Anyways.
All right, then we're on Alex, number three. No, wait, that was your number three. So Scott, number three.
My number three is a movie that I like more than it deserves. That would be Now You See Me. Have either of you seen that?
Yeah. Yeah. Jeebus, the second one was complete confusing trash. But the first one was pretty cool. I like that.
I saw part of this. Is the Jim Carrey magic thing? No.
Well, that
oh, no, this is the...
So they're magicians, but they pull off heists.
Yeah, but it's all like CGI magic, so... Yeah. Which is kind of dumb. But anyways,
real magic.
There's like heist within a heist within a heist in this movie that's actually kind of fun. So yeah, without spoiling anything...
Inception.
And yeah, some of it is based on revenge, so...
yeah.
With that. But the Jim Carrey one was... The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Oh, I was close.
Which is also a fun movie if anybody out there hasn't seen it.
Oh, yeah. With Steve Carell and Jim Carrey.
And what's his face? Steve Buscemi.
John Knotts. Oh.
And Olivia Wilde. So,
oh.
There you go.
All right. My number three is Point Break. So... There's lots of heists in this.
There's no revenge.
No, there is. The last one's revenge because they're getting back at Neo for being a traitor. And so the revenge is to go with him, steal his girlfriend, do all that. It's revenge heist.
I don't think so.
It's a revenge heist.
For that, I don't know.
Well, That's what you're getting.
So. I mean, that's fine. There's no change in the list now, but.
Revenge heist. They're revenging. they're revenging. No, never mind. That doesn't make sense. Utah, give me two. And by Utah, I mean Alex. It's your number two.
My number two is
his way out of that one.
Yeah, yeah. It's time for Neam New.
The Italian job.
Yeah. Which, that ad lib scene by Seth Green is inspiring. It's so freaking good. It almost makes the rest of the movie worthwhile.
The Italian job?
Yeah.
You're talking about the Jason Statham with the kill pair?
Yeah. Yeah. That was so fucking good.
This is funny. I didn't know it was on the menu. Don't want to spoil.
All right. Yeah. Got number two.
My number two is something I think it's been on my list for quite some time, actually, is The Sting. Without going into too much detail about it.
Yeah. Oh, was that Starcade 6 when he came down from the ceiling and he beat up on Macho Man?
I was talking about when he shows up like all oiled up in the loincloth and he fights Paul Atreides.
No, that's his concert where he sings Fields of Gold.
You got the revenge on the rest of the police?
Yeah. See, I thought about it, but that's more of a con than a heist.
But are you really going to call me
the
out
revenge,
on this?
See,
Alex.
No, I'm just saying, right, the revenge is there. Just like Jeff had the heist. Jeff had the heist on one, but not the revenge. This one's kind of the opposite.
Honestly,
he has the revenge part,
I honestly
but not the
don't
heist.
Remember how much of it is to do with, like, I mean, the conning amount of money, right?
Yeah, but it's not a heist. It's a con.
I'd have to see it again.
Yeah, I recently watched it, so.
Okay.
Robert Shaw, sober as a bird.
Stone cold sober.
Yeah.
All right, my number two is Heat, because there's heists and...
and revenge.
And there's revenge on Wang Rowe and...
But the heist isn't because...
And the guy with the grenade in his mouth, beginning of Dark Knight.
So this is a... This is like that scene in Super Troopers where he says the first person to whatever gets like socked in the balls and he just saps him. He just punches him in the ball because he doesn't want to play. And then he says, oh, did not specify.
Yeah. Lady in Blue coming through. You want to go punch
there
a punch?
Heists, and there it was revenge at some point.
Yeah, but the heist wasn't due to revenge. It's like... I want revenge in heist form.
Well, okay, how about this? Technically, what was his name? Not Wang Grow. Wait, which one was Wang Grow?
So he was the psychopath.
Yeah, not him. The other guy. Van Zandt.
Van Zandt, yeah.
Van Zandt tries to get revenge because in the first scene, they steal his money. And then he tries to heist it back from De Niro in the empty drive-in thing. And it doesn't go well for him, but he tries to heist the money back
not,
as revenge.
They don't steal his money, though.
Huh? What?
He just learns about it. Like, through Henry Rollins. He goes to a Black Flag concert.
Yeah.
And they sing about these bear bonds that...
Yeah, but Henry Rollins is a liar also, so.
No, Van Zandt finds out that they stole his money, and then he tries to get revenge on them by double-crossing them at the exchange when he tries to buy him back.
If it is his money, it's his money in the loosest sense of the word, because it was like a bank, it was like an armored car was moving money from one place to another, not for him personally. It's like for a bank.
He literally says, people think they can steal my money is okay. We got to teach them. And then they went to the Black Flag concert.
And then there was a weird Brazilian man who tried to talk him into finding some snakes. Anyway.
Anyways.
Scott, Alex number one.
I can't even see the rails from where we are.
Baby bird.
Bubble Bird.
Oh, my beautiful baby bird.
Bubble Bird. Bubble Bird. That's where you were going with it. Gotcha. All right. My Bubble Bird.
Bubble Bird. Oh, baby bird.
Our impressions are dead on today.
Yeah, dead on.
Oh, Billy.
My number one. My number one is Robin Hood, the Disney animated classic. At the last heist, it is to save, they go in there because they need to save Friar Tuck, who's due for death row for hanging. What Robin Hood doesn't need to do, but he does as revenge, is steal all of Prince John's money from his bedroom, all his gold coins.
It's not his money. He stole the money from the people.
It's still a heist to steal his money, to steal the money back, to give to the people. Kind of like Tower Heist, only, you know, better.
I mean, I'm not going to argue. It's my favorite Disney movie, so I'll let you have it.
Jeff, here's
Robin Hood, I want.
Here's what you need to understand. It's a heist that gives worms to ex-girlfriends.
You just don't get it here.
All right, nice. I like that one out, Scott. Alex, whatever your name is, that's your best one yet.
Thank you. It was my number one.
All right. Scott, what's your number one?
Okay.
Prince of Thieves.
you Prince of Thieves. You. Number one, speaking of the Ocean's movies, Steven Soderbergh and what's his face? George Clooney. Out of Sight. I should add to my list because it's actually a really good movie. I know.
I haven't seen it in forever. But I never heard really of it. Liking that movie.
So I can't say if it's wrong or right.
So, yeah, I don't spoil too much, but.
It's not wrong or right, but it's out of sight.
This is Jennifer Lopez's best movie. So.
Baby
yeah.
Bird.
Baby Bird.
Oh, that poor baby Bird.
Baby Bird.
Baby Bird.
George Clooney. Baby Bird. Let's go out of sight. Okay, that's my number one, out of sight.
All right. Nice. Well, my number one, and this one I am prepared to defend, it's already been mentioned, but as not being a revenge heist, which, shocker for my list, I have Ocean's 11 on here, and it's revenge for the hairy guy.
What?
The money guy in the Ocean's 11. Not Terry Benedict.
Oh,
the
I see
monstrosity.
I see where you're going with this, Jeff.
That's why he's in. That's why they needed a money guy. We needed somebody with the reason, the means, to want to get back at Terry Benedict. That's literally from the movie. And to get his girl, and the guy stole the guy's girl. Nope. Julia Roberts sleeping with the enemy. Done. Case closed.
Good pull, Jeff.
I think it's Ocean's 11 is a revenge heist. Not as much as Ocean's 13, but it's a far superb film.
I will therefore allow that there are elements of revenge in this. Okay.
There it is.
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah. If you even kind of allow it in the other ones, you have to allow Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
A precedent has been set. All right. I found this list really hard, obviously, as you can tell.
Yeah, it was a bit tough. Finding stuff specifically with revenge heists, but I think we did pretty well.
I didn't think too hard about,
especially me.
Yeah, I didn't think too hard about Vigi games, but I'm sure we could have come up with something there.
Yeah, I looked some up, and I remember some heists in, but not specifically revenge heists.
Well, that part in Zelda where you went into that guy's room and broke all his jars to get all his coins.
Fuck that guy!
And then did it again and again and again.
And then you beat the shit out of that chicken.
Right. Then you died.
That's the talk about vengeance. Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
Did you guys have any honorable mentions?
I'm good. Nope. I'm spent.
All right. I have several here. Let's go. No, I'm just kidding. It's time for Alex Knows Sports.
I'm Alex, and I like sports.
Sports ball?
So, yeah. World Baseball Classic. Japan beats Mexico on a walk-off.
Poor ill tree.
So, just can't. Yeah, I don't know how the Japanese could have taken off their underwear without taking off their pants, but they won.
What?
Because it was a walk-off.
I don't get it.
Explain
the joke, please.
I'm struggling here.
You guys don't remember Zoolander?
No.
They did, it's a walk-off. They do the walk-off and he gets... Okay. That's a deep, very deep cut, Alex. I see. It makes sense now, but yeah, that's... Billy Zane.
Anyway, the World Baseball Classic has been really good the last couple games. And, you know, you got rid of some of the cheaper countries. Not cheaper countries.
You got rid of some of those dirt people. They're playing, trying to play baseball.
I mean, baseball is not that worldwide of a sport, right? Compared to other things. It's like soccer, obviously.
It's not in Europe, but everywhere else.
Sure, obviously in the Americas and in parts of Asia, it's huge. Yeah. But soccer's huge everywhere except North America or at least the US and Canada. Yeah, the game's been really good, and now we're set up for US versus Japan, round two.
It's gonna be Shohei Ohtani pitching against Mike Trout.
He's not pitching though, right?
Is he? I don't know.
No, I think it's Darvish. Hugh Darvish, I think, is pitching.
It's probably for the best. As an Angels fan, it's for the best.
I will say, as an Angels fan, it's been awesome to see that our two best players actually in meaningful games and having a good time.
Yes and no.
Yeah, the Angels.
Because now it just puts a spotlight on on the other half of that equation.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow, enjoy it tomorrow, boys. You're going back to Anaheim.
Somebody's coming back to Anaheim winner. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. All right, but good show. The Mexico team did really well. I think way better than they expected. And
go ahead, Jeff.
And the Korean team did not do as well as expected. So who knows? This sport is weird. And baseball is really not a one and done type game.
Yeah, it doesn't win sport,
so it's kind of rough that way. But
it does feel like most of these games that I've watched, maybe the games themselves haven't been competitive, but they've had players that can compete, which I don't remember as much from the last time around. But they basically have legit baseball players all the way around, so it's fun to see.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, it's time for NEM news.
Yeah. Okay, some news that I just learned about this morning. Broken Lizard has a new movie that's coming out on Hulu on, of course, 420. And it's called Quasi.
I thought it was Potfest.
Finally.
Who knows? Maybe it's a bait and switch. So it's Quasi, I think is how it's pronounced. But it is a take on The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Notre Dame, however you want to pronounce it.
Oh, okay.
That has, the cast of Broken Lizard. Adrian Pilecki is in it. A couple other names that I didn't super recognize. But the premise is that Quasimodo somehow gets in the middle of a feud between the King of France and the Pope. And he's basically got orders from both of them to kill the other. So we'll see how it all goes. I'll check it out. Broken Lizard, even their kind of lesser offerings, were still fun to watch. So,
have you guys seen that? They have a show, or at least a couple of the guys are on that fireman show.
Yeah, I haven't seen that, but I heard it's on its third or fourth season. So
Tacoma FD.
Yeah. That's it. Hmm. So yeah, that
I saw a couple episodes. And it's Farva and Lemmy.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw one episode. It wasn't that funny, but I'm sure if it was the pilot, if you probably gave it more time, it'd be all right. But
yeah, so we're checking that out. Maybe it's a chance for them to get back to form. Moving on to just a couple general some general movie news here. So Creed 3 is making all the money. have you guys seen the first two?
Yes.
Nope.
You haven't seen either of them, Alex?
I have not.
Okay. First one is definitely worth a watch.
I agree.
Creed 2 is not great. Like, in and of itself, it's fine, but it feels too much like they're trying to rehash. Like, they're basically making Rocky 4.5 or whatever you want to call it.
How many robots are in that one?
Yeah, exactly. but definitely worth a watch. This third one, I understand, doesn't have Coogler. Coogler's not directing. It's Michael B. Jordan's directing it. I don't know how much Coogler's involved, but I guess Stallone's not in the third one. Which might be for the best. We'll see. But yeah, I kind of want to get out there and see this. The boxing, in at least in the first one, is great, though. Even if that's not really the point of the movie. Kind of like the original Rocky.
Right.
So, yeah. And on the flip side of that, I guess Shazam 2's not making all the money. But I hear people like it, so I don't know. I'm assuming none of us have seen it. I mean, I haven't seen it.
I didn't even know it was out.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
Yeah, so
I have no interest in seeing it. The first one was fine, and I liked it. I just have no interest. I don't know.
Yeah. So
I didn't even. What was the Rock movie that came out with that universe? Right, I didn't
Black see Adam. That either. Yeah. I got through like half of that on HBO Max and like took a break for something and not got back to it.
I saw all of it.
Whew.
Yeah. Oh, that fucking movie.
So is that some sad news? That Lance Reddick passed away. You know, I know Jeff, yeah. You love The Wire. Uh-huh. I haven't seen that, but that's one of the big ones that people bring up with him. the John Wick movies, he's great in that small part that he has is the hotel. I don't know, yep. Concierge is the right word, but the guy at the front desk, basically, he's really good at that. He was on this I think it was Prime series called Bosch. It was this crime procedural, basically, but he was like the police captain in that. He was really good. Yeah, the guy had the pipes, like, you know, anytime he lent his voice to stuff, it was always cool.
Destiny voiceover.
Yeah.
Did he do that?
Zavala.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that. So,
yeah, they actually did an in-game tribute to him. Like a bunch of fans and everything were kneeling by his character when they heard the news. Yeah.
So yeah, just sad news there. And then, finally, you guys caught up on Mando?
Yes.
Yep. Was that a yes or no, Jeff?
Yep. You are? Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay. Do we want to get into that?
Yes, we do.
All right.
I do.
All right. Okay, spoiler alert for everybody. We're going to talk about The Mandalorian, the first three episodes here. We already talked a little about the first. I don't think we've talked about the second and third ones. Jumping in, so Alex, you said that there was a character from episode 4 that showed up. Was it the trash compactor thing? Is that what that thing was supposed to be?
Trash compactor? No.
No, he means R4.
Yeah. R5-D4.
Oh, the astromech?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
You're finally getting his deal.
The one with the bad motivator.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
what it was. It's freaking Jawas. Until old Ellen Ripley was able to fix it up.
I still can't stand her character.
So that whole thing about IG, whatever, like, he's going to come back in like some other way, right? Because he spent so much time on that. For him,
I'm trying not to think about that.
For him to just like to take the other one, like, he has to come back now, right? And so instead he takes this other Mac, they go to Mandalore for reals. There's some cool set pieces there, even if it's mostly CGI. He fights a bunch of dumb apes.
Those things were stupid looking. That was Land of the Lost bullshit.
They looked a bit more Star Trek-y to me.
They looked, sure, okay, they looked Star Trek-y. Better than the concept art that they showed at the, with the credits. So that was an improvement.
Yes.
What is that? The creature that was piloting the no Exo idea. Whatever's.
Yeah. That was cool though. I have no idea.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I thought it was a really cool thing. It was kind of creepy.
General Grievous vibes.
Yeah, yeah. If it turns out that that's General Grievous, I'm gonna die.
Yeah, we get.
Oh my gosh! It's not. I hope it isn't. But if they put that in there, I'm gonna just erase it from my headcanon.
Yeah, but we get more Bo-Katan, more Katie Sackhoff.
Mm-hmm. It's a Sackhoff.
We get to see a lot of the Darksaber in this episode. So the second episode, by the way.
Yeah.
So is it not? It's not a lightsaber, right? Or is it? Because it wasn't just like slicing all the way through stuff, right?
Yeah.
Like a lightsaber.
It's still technically a lightsaber.
Yeah.
So yeah, you still haven't watched Book of Boba Fett, right, Scott?
Not all the way.
So, yeah. So there's a scene where he's trying to the what's like the leader of them? The
Forge Master.
The Forge Master is kind of trying to teach him how to fight with it, and it gets like heavier with every swing, so he doesn't know how to use it, and it's kind of like, you know, use the Force, but you can't use the Force because so they're trying to teach him how to use it, and so that's why he's pretty bad with it.
She's really good with it.
Yeah, well, she's owned it before.
Yeah.
Temporarily,
and she doesn't have the Force, right? So
I don't think so. Yeah,
there's got to be some trick to it that he hasn't, like, he doesn't have a Mr. Miyagi to help him out,
right,
to figure out this thing.
And I have saw a clip online where, I never really watched it, but in Rebels, the girl in the Mandalorian hat on that helmet on that, Sabine, she had the black saber for a while or whatever. And then the Jedi guy on that crew was teaching her how to use it. Like, he was doing all Jedi talk, but it wasn't using the Force. It was something else. So I don't know. It's a weird. I think if you watch the Clone Wars and Rebels, you'd have a better idea of what's going on there. But he gets his ass handed to him a lot.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's constantly like getting injured, getting his ships destroyed, losing his shit. Like, he's lucky that the thing does not care about the saber or the blaster. Just kind of tosses them aside. But yeah, so Bo-Katan shows up and rescues him. He goes through with the ritual. So
apparently Beskar is pretty heavy, falls straight to the bottom.
Do you think I was confused by that. So
yeah, was it because he was pulled down?
Yeah, it looked like he was pulled down.
I thought so at first, but since he was just laying unconscious there, and that other, the mythosaur or whatever that was down there with him, wasn't really doing anything, so.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to eat him.
It didn't make sense if he fell and, like, instantly passed out. This was, like, more of a mystical reason for it or whatever.
It doesn't make sense for Luke Skywalker to be in ankle-deep water and get pulled in the bottom of the trash compactor, and no one can find him, and then all of a sudden he pops up.
Yeah, Dianoga.
Yeah, like. That always bothered me in the first Star Wars. Like, they're standing in ankle high water and he gets pulled under and they can't, they're swooping, they can't find him, and then he's back.
So, either way, he falls like a bottomless thing. She dives in after him. It was cool that, what's the thing called, Jeff?
Mythosaur.
If that's what it was, like, was there in the water, which is creep, which is, ugh. But she pulls him out. And, like, she's the one that has the moment after that, right? Like, and then the third episode starts, and the title of the episode is important, The Convert, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some dogfighting on the way out, which is fine. It's fun. Her home is destroyed in the process, though, so that's kind of important. The whole time, though, she's keeping the helmet on.
It's like, I got a feeling she's the convert. Yeah. But wait.
But yeah, then
there's more.
The jump cut to Coruscant to a couple characters that I'd completely forgotten about.
Yeah. This is the meat of the episode, too.
What happened? Can you guys tell me what happened to Penn Pershing?
The doctor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't really show what happened to him, right? He was just in that little, like, satellite office for the Empire, and then that gets blown to hell. So maybe he just meets up with the New Republic somewhere?
Well, they obviously they captured him, but yeah. I don't remember if they showed it or not. I don't think so.
Well, it wasn't part of the story, really. Like, okay.
Right, I don't think so. Okay. And the girl, they showed it in the previously on. I don't remember that at all. I don't know who this.
So
girl
I remember. Her, well, I remember both characters once I saw them. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I did not remember her at all.
So, yeah, just basically showing how the New Republic is just like suffering under the weight of its own bureaucracy, right?
Oof, yeah.
Like, but like erring on the side of. Like, not, like, causing trouble. So, objectively, still much better than the Empire.
Yes.
Yeah, she, you know, comes along and she kind of implants the idea in his head that, like, hey, you can still be helping people. Like, the whole point of the Republic is to, like, do good, right? Like, it's not about just blindly following orders, which makes sense. Even though nobody seems to care. Although I find that hard to believe, like... You have this like top imperial scientist that's in your hands and you flip them. You don't want them to do scientific stuff anymore.
I know.
Like, yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the Republic military would want him to continue on, like, not necessarily like doing illegal cloning shit, but to like figure out other stuff. Like,
But does that mean anything? And they're huge. I mean, they said trillion. Coruscant had a trillion people on it, I think they say at one point in this episode. But he's just the number, right?
Once he's in the system, yes. But my point was he should have never gotten to that point. Like, he was basically like World War II, like, German scientist going to work for the other team, like, at that point.
Yeah.
Like, he's not just another guy, like... Like that works at like the drugstore down the street, you know.
Yeah, he's not a riveter or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. So that didn't make sense to me. But yeah,
maybe they were trying to vet him, like give him some time. He's going to that robot doctor every week, every day. I don't know, answering questions, make sure he's on the level before moving him up. Maybe that's the only thing I can think of.
So it was interesting to see more of Coruscant and like. How it works there, and again to see some of the flaws of the New Republic, or the Republic as it were. I did like that scene when he gives his like little TED talk, and then everybody's like, oh, you're so brave for doing this, but it's all just like so hollow and empty. And there's even like that one rich dude that's like Thurston Howell, that's like it's like, I don't even know who the Republic or the Imperial or anymore. They're all the same. Like, yeah, just...
yeah.
Like, that... You know, just obnoxious people in the case.
It's like, I was almost drafted.
So did you notice where he gave that speech? That is where Squid Lake was when Anakin gets the lesson taught to him by Palpatine about... Saving a human, bringing back to life, but you can't learn it from a Jedi.
Was that actually, was that really the name of the show going on, Squid Lake?
Yeah, yep. Squid Lake.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I didn't know that.
They never says it in the movie, but somehow it got released. Maybe it was in the novel.
It's funny if that's what, like, the people there, were, like, the people making it were calling it, but, like, yeah.
No, I think it's canon. It's Squid Lake.
God. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, yeah, you get... It is some, you get a couple of interesting characters here with Penn Pershing and Elia Kane. So it's Omid Abtahi, I don't know how to pronounce his name, then Katie O'Brien. Just people that aren't, you know, like caught up in like all the other regular Star Wars stuff. So his motivation is more that he just wants to do the research.
Yeah, he wants to finish his work.
Like, how much, like, he tells everybody it's for the greater good, but you get the sense that he just cares more about the work, which is interesting. That's like, a kind of a realistic character. And, like, you'd see her coming from a mile away, though. Like, again, spoilers. But she seems, like, genuine, you know?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to believe.
Takes him out to, like, get like whatever that glowing ice cream was.
That was dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
So this is literally space ice cream. This is a Futurama thing at Star Wars.
He's got to like mime eating this thing and then just put it there in post or whatever.
The coolest part of this whole episode was seeing the mountain peak and saying that's the only piece of ground.
That was a cool idea. That's how industrialized this world has become. Anyways, he eventually decides that he needs to go like steal a mobile lab. Still not entirely sure what that is, but
it's a lab that he can take places. Okay. It's there in the name.
Going mobile.
Yeah.
They go to the junkyard with all the Imperial crap there, like Star Destroyers just laying around.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Like minimal security, by the way. You think the Rebels would put a couple more people on, or not the Rebels, the Republic would have a few more people watching that stuff.
Or some dogs. Just have a couple of Rancors, like a junkyard Rancor.
That sounds safe. they break in, he gets his thing, and then they're immediately arrested. And you find out that she's double crossed him. I thought it was lame that they basically jump cut to him like waking up again. Like they don't really show what happened in between. Like it was convenient that he never got the chance to explain anything. But here's the one point in the show where from a certain point of view, the New Republic is evil, where they're so like convinced of their own like righteousness that they don't like stop to think that they should even listen to him. Yeah. It's not that they think like, oh, this guy's evil, we don't need to hear what he has to say, but they're just like their farts smell so good in themselves, they're like, oh, we know what to do. And they hook him up to the quote unquote mind flayer, and the calamari is like, no, 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 it's fine, it's fun, trust me. They walk out.
Did you catch the joke?
What I maybe
where he's on the table. No, when we got there, it was a trap.
Oh,
that was great. That's a nice little touch.
So they start to zap him to like they're basically clockwork oranging him.
Yeah, that's the one. I was trying to think of the title too.
Well, I was trying to think of like
I just took 1 year off your life. Yeah, one day I may go as far as four, but we'll just see. I don't know why my guy's talking like that. Anyway,
yeah, and everybody's
got
so,
six fingers on one hand.
Yeah, then everybody's so like proud of her for like ratting him out, and then they leave her alone with the machine, which doesn't make sense to me, but they do that
because cool, he's a friend and I care about him.
And then she turns it up and then eats the
to 11.
The ration and looks on. So, and like, who knows? His brain's completely fried. He's dead. Who knows? Effectively dead. So, questions here. First, an observation. This is like the first time I can remember in a Star Wars movie where someone has been this like pathologically evil, her character. Like, yes, we've had people like the Emperor, but that's more like space opera, mustache twirling, like grand schemes, chewing on scenery. Like Vader's a little more subtle, just kills anybody in his way, like the, you know, that kind of villain. But there's like a sadistic like note to her at the end there. She's like almost like a serial killer. And I don't remember seeing anything like that in Star Wars. Maybe some of the books or some of the animated stuff. There are characters like that, but
I'd have to think. I mean,
yeah, it's not many.
There's certainly evil characters all over the place, but like that like want to kill other people and are happy to do it. But like, there's just like a chilling note on her where she's like, she's a sociopath. You don't really see that in Star Wars.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, see, I don't know if it's that or if she's just following orders. Because I still... So my play on her is that she is still working for the Empire.
That brings up my next question. Is like,
yes.
Is she just doing this to get ahead? She's covering her own whatever. But the fact that she goes out of her way to take this guy out. Because there's some risk involved to her there, right?
No, I think she's wiping his mind because of the Imperial secrets and the research that he has.
Okay.
And she doesn't want to follow into it.
But the way she watches it at the end, though.
No, like, she likes her job.
Yeah, yeah.
A little bit too much.
Yeah, like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, it could be. It also could just be just overact so the audience knows that there's something going on here more than, you know, literally twirling the mustache. Since she doesn't have a mustache, just look extra into it. I don't know.
I mean, there's lots of ways they could have shown that, but they went out of their way to just have her, like, have a casual snack, like, while
that had an Imperial sign on it.
True,
mm-hmm. It's a yellow cracker, or was it a red cracker? The ones she likes.
I think it was the yellow.
Well, she says she likes the reds the most, but
yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's rewatch it right now.
Also, did you guys like the earlier in the episode when there's drinking? Like, there's some of those like shitty like stackable wine cups that you get at like Bevmo. Because that's what those were.
Well, they don't want to give these converts the good stuff in the New Republic.
That's true.
Well, it's better than a straw on the wall. Oh, you didn't watch Andor, right? No, you got to watch Andor. So this episode felt a lot like a poor man's version of Andor, where they're getting more into the social aspects.
Yeah.
It's not just the pew-pew. It's, okay, what would life really be like if you had... Like, okay, yeah, you captured all these Imperials. What are you going to do? You just don't... kill them all. Like, you have to have an amnesty program type thing, right? So, like,
yeah,
it was cool showing it. It just doesn't have, I don't think, the skill, the writing of the other show that the other show had. So it was cool to see. It's just weird how they do this, how in the middle, this feels like it's a different, they're setting up a different show almost. Or something. Like, it didn't feel when like
Married with Children did it a few times.
Yeah. Or Book of Boba Fett, where all of a sudden Mandalorian had two episodes in it. You're like, what the fuck's going on? So I don't know.
So we all agree she's working for the Empire. Do you yes. think this is just like general orders, or is there like somebody that we should know that she's taking orders from at this point, or are we just going to have to learn that?
No,
Gideon.
Yeah, is it Gideon? Yeah,
that's
what I'm saying.
I think this could be spoilery, but because we know this is, he's being introduced in the Ahsoka show, is it's Grand Admiral Thrawn, who's in charge of all of this. It kind of lines up with the books, even though the books aren't canon anymore, is when the Empire was gone, he was out there still running things from afar.
Thrawn is canon in Mandalorian.
Not yet, but he's going to be in...
Well, they mention him, though.
Well, that's right. They did
maybe not like the same character from the books, but there is a Thrawn character that's canon. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. And they have reintroduced him in Rebels as well. So he is definitely in canon now. And you're right. Ahsoka mentioned him when she fights that chick when she earns the spear or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So that's my thought, is that he's behind all of this. And that kind of would be his way of... I don't know. But then I read... This guy's cloning stuff. He could be the reason why they cloned Snoke's to get to the Emperor. I mean, I don't know. They're trying to find all sorts of weird ways to make Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of Luke Skywalker. What the fuck was the last? Rise of Skywalker makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. But.
All right. Enjoying.
Well, then the episode wasn't over yet. And then you get to the convert.
So, that's right. Thank you. We jump back to Din Djarin and company, and they get back to whatever that planet is where they're hiding out with all the other Mandalorians. Mm-hmm. Shows them the water that he's taken a sample of, the living waters. The blacksmith, whatever her name is, the armorer confirms that he has indeed cleansed himself. And then
in the waters of Lake Minnetonka,
yes. and you know, conveniently, Bo-Katan, because she was in the water and also was not taking off her helmet, is also like on the path again. This is the way. Thus showing that the convert was a red herring for everything going on in the middle, but it was actually referring to Bogota.
You know, but it's something that most of us could see a mile away. Anyways.
That's kind of obvious. But bummer that we don't get to see Katie Sackhoff's face anymore, but what are you going to do?
You know, you never know.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? They don't say, like, what happens when, like, two Mandalorians bone.
Yeah, they haven't explained that. Or if that's even possible. Or if they have to, you know, wear blindfolds or something.
I mean, the Mandalorians have to procreate some
pubic. You could see pubic area, pubic region. This is the way.
Right, but they just leave the helmet. It's like Pretty Woman, no kissing on the lips.
There you go.
Helmet, they said blindfolds.
Helmet stays on the whole time. That's got to be awkward.
That's true. Blindfolds. If you blindfold each other.
Yeah, that should be fine.
Yeah, I'm a little murky on that. Like,
But I don't think they're going to explain it either. So this is the best you got.
Okay.
By the way, Alex, because Scott, you never really watched Battlestar Galactica, right? But Scott, you did, or vice versa. When you watched it?
Yeah, I watched it.
I've seen episodes, but yeah.
She pulled the Starbuck maneuver at the fight scene at the beginning where she flipped around and faced the guy and shot him.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that they did that in Galactica because I just remember that from Firefly or Serenity or whatever the TV show was. They called it a Crazy Ivan.
Well, it makes sense. Like in space, you could easily just flip around and shoot the guy, and you're not going to lose momentum, right? Mm-hmm. Like all that stuff. And this but doesn't really make much sense.
In the atmosphere, yeah. Well, she's able to turn around, but then she has to like jumpstart the engines again before.
There was one thing that I'm glad you guys brought it up that I thought was really cool. Was when she flips around with one like. She rotates one of the wings forward and then flips that way. I don't know if that was the same maneuver, but that looked really cool. Right?
Yeah, that was well shot. That was awesome. It's a Crazy Ivan, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I guess the same thing, probably why they included this. Like, so where are these TIE fighters coming from? The Empire is gone.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that could be
Thrawn. They weren't TIE fighters. Too.
They're TIE interceptors, but same thing.
Well, they go out of their way he goes out of his way to say, oh, these TIE interceptors are way tougher than the TIE fighters.
Oh, yeah. Do you ever play X-Wing versus TIE Fighter?
Or Star Wars Squadrons?
I don't know any, like, are they long-range fighters? Like, I don't know.
No, they're just quicker and faster.
Yeah, they're the equivalent of, like, an X-Wing. Yeah.
That they're in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
So they're in the final battle. There are a few of them anyway. Nerds. okay, I think that was it. I thought they're decent. I really did not like the first episode. The last two I like better because a little more lore, a little more story building.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff kind of happens quick in this. It's like all of a sudden, right? We had another Mandalore to cleanse. All right, I went to Mandalore and I cleansed, and then
real fast, they're saving that budget.
Yeah. I just want to see the episode where the like Mandalorians go to war. It's gonna be awesome.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, I was watching this with the kids, and they're like, "When are we gonna get to the Mandalorians again?"
I did, like as Scott mentioned, like, the IG-11 thing was weird. They just dropped that plot line. And then they get this droid, and then he goes out there and he disappears, and Mando's like, fine, I'll do it myself. Make a suction sound on his helmet, and he can walk in the air with no problem. Like, why didn't you fucking do this in the first place? Why did we have, like, wasting half an episode of you trying to find a droid to test? I don't know. Some things are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with Baby Yoda.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything too annoying.
Yeah, like flying back to get Bo-Katan. Like, I think that was fine. Nothing too crazy there. I'm wondering...
stealing kids' macarons in the classroom again.
I'm wondering if we're going to get a CGI Leia or Han. If they're spending a lot of time on Coruscant with the Rebellion rebuilding... definitely a Leia thing makes sense. Like, if there's being some stuff going on there, I could see it happening. I don't know how I feel about that. I love the Luke one. Leia, I don't know. But maybe a little baby Kylo. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. Little Ben.
All right.
Baby Kylo.
Yep, enjoying it mostly. Look forward to the rest of it. Okay, enough Star Wars talk. Alex, anything you wanted to go over besides any of that?
Nah. We'll save it for next week. We should have really did this at the end, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah. hindsight's like 20-something. Jeff?
Nah.
Okay.
Last of Us is over. If you guys still haven't watched it, go do it. I'm putting it on my list, so we're going to do it soon. So you boys better start watching it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And yeah, then I watched this, and that was about it. So
sounds like we're good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
If you want your life back, you got to steal it.
We at Hans Shot First would like to thank you for listening and supporting the podcast. We would love to hear from you, so feel free to contact us on Facebook and Twitter at Hans Shot First. Also, please leave us a review on iTunes. Reviews are greatly appreciated and help us get more exposure. Once again, thanks for listening and supporting the podcast.